Now I'm going to read in Galatians, and while I'm reading, stand up. And that way everybody will have a few minutes of rest. Galatians chapter 5, and you can all stand while I read, and everybody will be rested that way. Since I've come to this conference, I've been impressed with a race, this marathon that was brought before us at the beginning of our Bible study, the first Bible study, and much of what we've had can be pictured in this marathon race that we're to run with patience. And so I want to read of an area of people who are having crisis times in their assemblies. The Galatian churches were having real problems, and the Lord's people were being led astray. What do we do in those times? Well, the apostle certainly laid the truth of salvation by grace very clearly. But as he concludes the book, he comes and begins to apply this in a practical sense, and being a practical person, that's what I want to do at the conclusion of this meeting here. And so we're going to read from verse 22 of chapter 5 through verse 10 of chapter 6. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now, before I read any further, notice in this reading that there are conclusions here that have to be come to. Not enough to know the problem, but there are solutions that God intends to be made. And so he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, try to restore him? No. Restore such an one. The work must be completed, so we have here a restoration that is to be completed. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So here, we have a law that is to be fulfilled. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And here we have a right evaluation of oneself that has to be made. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Here we have a work to be done. For every man shall bear his own burden. And here we have a life to be lived. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now here we have a teaching that has to be passed on. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And here we have a testimony to be maintained. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And here we have a harvest to be brought in. That's what our brother has just been bringing to us a moment ago. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And here we have a suffering race of humanity that we're responsible for, to be helped. Now you may be seated. The Lord has given gifts to people, and that's a wonderful thing. Assemblies are not left without the ability to meet the needs and the problems that are there. God gifts God's people at the time of conversion, and assemblies are one of God's beautiful places to be, because there the gifts are able to function properly, and the needs of people are able to be met. I believe, I am confident, that within every assembly there is full and sufficient gift to meet the need of that assembly. Otherwise, God wouldn't have established it there. However, it often happens that that gift is not used nor perhaps developed in the way it should be. One of those foundation gifts, or one of those early gifts that was given, is the gift of a help. And a help, I've heard people say, and it provokes me a bit, I might as well say, that they say, well, you know, I may not be an apostle or a prophet or evangelist, but at least I can be a help. Now, this is one of those gifts that God has put into the assembly, right? It mentions it thirdly, helps. And the reason He's put it there is because it's such an important gift. And so I would suggest that what's happening here in Galatians, they have ignored some of those spiritual gifts, and people are wandering, and the apostle is bringing back some of these fundamentals to be applied to a problem time in the life of the assemblies that were in that province. And I would like to apply that practically today. The biblical helper is a person in the last part of chapter 5 who has brought his life, includes his values, into conformity with the teachings of the Lord Jesus. And he's led by the Spirit of God. And he's not impressed with his own importance. He's a person who realized that he has been privileged by God to be identified with the Lord's people. And to me, that is an unspeakable privilege. And I would like to state categorically and emphatically that I am committed to the assemblies of the Lord's people. And the young people will say right now, hey, I thought you said last night you were committed to people. Or it had to be to persons. So it is. To Christ or to people. An assembly is a called out group of people, and I thank God that I'm part of one. Now, I would like to just look at this briefly, verse by verse, as we go through from verse 1, because a lot of times things are left dangling. They're left in the air without coming to conclusions, and because of it, we suffer. We suffer for lack of power. We suffer for lack of interest. We suffer for lack of involvement. And people are often wondering, well, why am I here anyway? What is my role as a Christian? He mentions, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one, and a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. A person who's going to be a help is a person who will be gentle, but firm. He will be a compassionate person who is alert to the temptations that come every time a fault has to be dealt with. He'll realize that he's dealing with a situation in which it can spell the spiritual benefit and help in a person's life or their shipwreck. And I would like to illustrate some of these points. I'm not just a storyteller, but I would like to just pass this on because sometimes it pays to put it in real-life situations. About 2.5 months ago, I was in the month of January, I was in a certain place and was visiting with one of the overseers in the assembly. And there was a young man had been saved when we were in the area, and I asked how he was getting along, and he said he's not getting along very well. I said, well, I'd like to go and see him. And he said, fine. He said, we'll go and see him. And so he was going to telephone. I said, no, I said, that's not my way. I'd rather go right to his door. Well, he said, catch him unawares. I said, well, after all, if it means anything at all to be a father in the faith, you should be able to go to your child's door, right? So I said, we'll go to the door. And we went, and his wife, who was not saved, came to the door, and she said, he's not here. Well, I said, then we'll have a visit with you first, and we'll wait a little while and see when he comes. And he came to the door, and he almost passed out, because he was not expecting to see us. And noticing the situation, I said, well, now, I said, I want you to know that I'm here, and I'm going to be back. We'll be back tomorrow. We'll be back tomorrow night. But I said, I would like to tell you ahead of time why we're here. We are here, and I read him this verse. I said, because you are in a fault. And there's no point in allowing a thing to continue. There does come a time when we have to bring this to a stop. There's no reason for this to continue in your life. Now I said, you don't have to open the door to me, but I said, I will be here at such a time tomorrow night. And I said, we'll expect you here. And so we came back, the overseer and I. Unwisely, he had arranged for his unsaved wife and children to be someplace else, and we sat together, and for 2.5 hours, we were able to deal with this whole problem of the fault. In talking to that overseer that was there at the time, I asked him, I said, have any of you brethren been back? This was 2 weeks later. I was talking to this overseer on the phone. He says, well, no. Well, I said, go back. And so a week later I called and I said, have you been back to see this young man? And he said, yes, I was back. I said, well, is there any difference? He said, I think, well, I said, go back again. Restoration is the objective. This is part of this marathon that we're running. This is the race that we have to run with patience. Our job is not completed in restoration until that person is there in fellowship with the Lord's people and we're able to reach out a hand to them. And in fellowship, enjoy their fellowship. You know what the brother said to me when I left, though? He was a young man. He came right out of the rough. You know, you have to consider a person's background sometimes. He said, Mr. Graff, he said, I may not seem like it, but he said, I'm really glad you came. And he said, I know I've argued with you for 2 hours, but he said, I know you're right. And he said, I know what you want is the very best. And so he said, please pray for me and for my wife. I appreciated that very much. And I believe that we have to remember that when we're in this race, as a biblical helper, we must involve ourselves in completing tasks. I fear this is one of the major problems that overseership is facing right now, is an uncompleted task. Oftentimes, and people overtaken in a fault have been visited once, and it's all over. Notice verse 2. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What do we find here? A person who's going to fulfill this work in this race is a person who will be involved with other people. You can't remain aloof from others. There's a law that has to be fulfilled. Well, what is that law? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples indeed, if ye have love one to another. You know, it's a beautiful thing that the Lord Jesus mentioned 3 times. Ways that people around us would know that we're real disciples. John 8, we're obeying His word. John 13, we have love one to another. John 15, we're bearing fruit. Those are ways that people will know around us, that people will know that we're His disciples. You know, bearing burdens means that I'm going to involve myself in the life of other people, even when it's going to cause me inconvenience and pain. And it will do just that. That's part of being a help. We say, where do we do this? What are some of the places? When does it happen? He sat in an old man's home. He hasn't been out to the assembly. He hasn't been able to be out to the assembly meetings. This is a few months ago. For probably 2 years. And, of course, you do the dutiful thing, you know. You talk about how he is. And, of course, he tells you it takes about 20, 25 minutes to ask about people's pain. And they tell you. And people have a right to it because, I mean, when a person's suffering, it's all right to ask, how are you sometimes? I mean, after all, it's overpowering them. They want to get something off. But by and by, we read the scriptures, and but he was an old man who couldn't read. He respected it there, though, and we talked. And by and by, we, two or three of us were there, and we said, now we'll sing a hymn. And we sang a few hymns, and he listened. And then one of us asked, we said, now, do you have one you'd like to sing? Yes, he said, 134 in the Believer's Hymn Book. What's that? Lord Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. And it was interesting. By the time we got to the last verse, he was singing. I said, you know, he said, I really like that hymn. He says, thanks very much for coming. Well, all of our talk and all of our reading really didn't help all that much until we got to the place where we were bearing his burden. And that came when we really joined together and sang, and when that bright, you know, that hymn, that Lord Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. And by the time we got to the last verse, you know, we were sharing with him that burden that he couldn't bear with anybody else. That's part of being a help in this race, in this marathon. We're here representing our Lord. And so a biblical helper will be one who's gentle, firm, and compassionate, but gentle, realizing that there's a restoration to be completed. Verse 1. Verse 2, he's involved with other people, even to the extent of bearing their pain and inconvenience, fulfilling a law. Verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. What's this? Well, a person who's going to be a help to anybody else, a biblical helper, and benefiting others in this race, this marathon, because it's not always done under the eyes of people. I did watch one time a marathon race going through our town, run from the high school. And about 85% of that race is run outside of town, and part of that race is run way off where there's not even a house around. You know, it's interesting that he says right in this group of verses, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. What is this? If I'm going to be a benefit to anybody else, there has to be humility. A biblical helper will be a person who recognizes the source of his own strength is the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And that will preserve him from a superior, holier-than-thou attitude. He'll have a right evaluation of himself, and he'll say that, and he'll know honestly before God. Nobody else is a witness that anything that's beneficial from this life of mine will be wholly and solely to the work of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus in my life. And so a biblical helper will be a person who recognizes the source of his strength is God alone. He'll be a humble person. You don't go around advertising that particular fact. Verse number 5, a biblical helper will be a verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. What is this? This person, and if I'm going to be a biblical helper, if I'm going to be a person benefiting a benefit in this marathon race that I'm in, I'll be involved in some realistic self-appraisal of my own work, because there is a work to be done. It's interesting being involved with people. You can't measure it the same way as a person would if they close a sale. Somebody might say, we did a great piece of work there. We got a good contract. Or somebody else would say, I'm very satisfied. We finally finished that house and we got the foundation down on another. But how does a person who teaches evaluate his own work? By the results. That's the only way we can evaluate our work is by the results. Nothing can be more gratifying than 2 or 3 weeks or 2 or 3 months later than a person who has been ministered to by one of the Lord's servants to come to him and say, listen,
I want to tell you that what you've taught me really works in my own life.
And if a person teaches and never hears that, then we should apply ourselves to our teaching again. And if a person is ministering and never hears that, we should apply to our ministering again. See, self-examination will not, I won't be comparing myself with somebody else. It will be appraisal in view of the things that I've taught or read or spoken myself. We won't have to compare ourselves with somebody else. I believe that there are often times we have to realize and say, what I thought was a help wasn't a help at all. I am concerned whenever I listen or whenever I speak that I'm spoken to directly. I know what's being said and I can identify the truth that's being told me and I can do something about it. Very gratifying just since I've been here to hear of a couple of people who we spoke to one time and they mentioned that they are now baptized. That's what those of you who preach, those of us, I assume those of you who preach here in this area, want to look for. I would believe we should see results of our teaching. Isn't it a wonderful thing? I mean, I wasn't involved in their salvation, in the conversion of these people, but they were just telling me that somebody had had some ministry along a certain subject, and they realized that they should act on it, and they have been baptized. I am thrilled to hear when people are taking the truth of God to heart. There's something else here, and this is verse 5. A person who's going to be a help to anybody else has got to be responsible for bearing his own burdens. In other words, the burdens of my own life or the loads of my own life, I can't blame on somebody else. There's a life to be lived. We can't expect others to take the responsibility for my actions. How often have we heard, well, you know, if the assembly was different, I would be different. Or if the brethren had done it differently than this, my children would have been there. Or, you know, if they hadn't spoken that way, why, I'm sure they would, their life would be different now. We have to assume the responsibility of our own burdens. We can't pass that off onto somebody else. If I'm going to be a helper, to anybody else, I have to learn how to bear those burdens of my own. Notice verse number six, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And I would take it that what he's saying here, if I'm going to be a help to others, this is one of those areas that's kind of difficult. It would appear to me that if a person who has a gift is inclined to assist others in developing the same gift that he has, only learning how to do it better. In other words, in essence, working yourself out of a job. I did hear this one time that, maybe I shouldn't mention the name and place, but there was a preacher who took a young man under his wing, and the man, the older preacher, was committed to the gospel in a sense. He was a man who was involved in the gospel as the main theme of his work. And the young man who he took along with him was a man who had a real grasp of Scripture and could develop an expositionary teaching that people would follow and was easily understood. And so the old preacher took him along with him and he passed on his human touch that he had. And by, he took him one time to a place and he told him something like this. He says, listen, I told you all I know now. He says, you're on your own from now on. So that's just paraphrase. And so the young preacher got up and he ministered.
And he really unfolded the scripture, and the Lord's people really benefited. And the old preacher knew that he could ever do in his lifetime what the young man was able to do in the early part of his ministry. And he nudged the man alongside him and says, "That's my boy." He says, "Isn't he good? He's really good." You know, I believe that's one of those things that we have to remember. We are responsible to assist others in doing the same thing that I do, only praying and hoping and instructing that they'll be able to do it better than I do it. That's why I believe it's a biblical principle that younger and older go together. Younger overseers and older ones together. Younger preachers and older ones together. Younger teachers and older ones together. Mothers in Israel and young women together. Those are ways that God's work carries on. We're assisting others to do the same thing, and in that way assure the continuance of the testimony that was in danger of falling apart here in these Galatian assemblies. And so the apostle is insisting now, look, he said, that him that is taught in the word, communicate. In other words, don't just hold it to yourself, pass it on. Communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Let him do it. Teach it so he can get everything you know better, as good or better than yourself. Notice now in verse number 7 and 8, a biblical teacher will be aware of God and of the fact that there is spiritual influences in everything that he does in his life. Everything that I do is going to have a consequence. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. You know, our testimony is certainly a valuable thing. We don't have to defend ourselves from time to time or place to place. Our testimony will do that for us. But let us all be aware that if I'm going to be a biblical helper, I'm going to be able to fulfill that work and that gift that's involved in this work of helping. But I have to remember that everything that I do has got a spiritual consequence. Every place that I go, every conversation that I have, every testimony that I make, every work in the gospel that I'm involved in, that will have consequences for good or bad. We live that before the Lord. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Our time is almost done. I'm going to mention this here in verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. A person who is a biblical helper will be a patient person. In the lists that are in the New Testament of Christ-likeness, you'll find that word patience in every one of those lists. And so I would say that a biblical helper is a person that is patient even when the task is long and hard and seemingly impossible, because he realizes that he's in a harvest field and he's bringing in a harvest. That's why I can understand what my brother has been just saying here. You know, you don't always see the results of a conversation or a message or an exercise today or tomorrow or next week or next month. You don't always see the results of the nights of prayerfulness and sleeplessness. You don't always see those, but you will. There will be a time of recompense. And so what he's saying here is that be not weary in well-doing. We're going to be starting meetings, and I'm going to put this plug in right here because I believe in prayer. And I believe the more people that pray at any given time about a specific subject, the more power there is. I'm talking about specific prayer. We're going to be beginning meetings a week from this Sunday night over in Deep Cove. And I wouldn't feel that I would have the right to stand on a platform and preach the gospel to sinners and expect to see them saved if I don't spend time praying for those same people. And if my time in prayer doesn't compare somewhat greater than the time I spend in preaching, I certainly wouldn't expect to see anybody saved. And if it doesn't mean enough to me to spend far more time in preparation than in putting out what I have to take in, I wouldn't expect to see any results in the preaching. But when a person in prayer and in study and in exercise and in patience is involved in anything, be it feeding the Lord's people, being it shepherding the saints, being it succoring those that are in pain, or being it preaching the gospel, when we involve ourselves in those things that count, patience pays off. In due season we'll reap. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Due season we shall reap if we faint not. There is a harvest to be brought in. We're involved in it. Right up to there. On a biblical helper will be a person who's patient. He's also a person, verse 10, who recognizes a responsibility to do good to all men. Especially to believers, but to all men. There's a race of people around us that is in desperate need of a Christian. I was convicted last Saturday night. A young man and his young wife were in our house. And he's been only recently saved. And he was telling me a bit of his past. Everything from drugs, now not heroin, but LSD, marijuana, cocaine, alcohol, the occult. And now he's a very intelligent man, very intelligent young man studying to be an engineer. He said, you know, in all my life, he said, I've never heard anybody ever, until the first time until just before I got saved, he said, I never heard anybody ever say anything to me like, are you a Christian? I never heard John 3:16, never heard the word saved. And he said, you know, I've resolved, he said, not to let any days go by without talking to at least one person. Boy, here was me. Where do you go? And this is only a young convert. He said, I've resolved never to let a day go by without speaking to one person. That sounded like echoes of V.L. Moody to me. And when I saw that young man, here he is, an intelligent young man, and he works. He goes to college. He's got a young wife. But I thought, here's a person who realizes that he's part of humanity, isn't he? We do have a responsibility to our human beings, but especially to these who are our believer, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And surely if our Christianity counts for anything in this marathon race, there's room for us to open our hearts and our arms and our lives and our homes and embrace each other in the name of the Lord and encourage each other in this race that is set before us and help each other and be involved with each other, because a biblical helper will be one who's firm, gentle but compassionate and firm. He's one who's involved in helping people, in bearing burdens. He's a humble person. Verse 3, he's a person who examines himself to see what his own work is like, if there's anything coming out of it. He's a person who takes the responsibility for the burdens of his own life. He's a person who is inclined to assist others to do the same thing he's doing, only do it better, and rejoices when he sees another person do it better than himself. He's a person who's aware of God and of spiritual influences in everything that he does, whatever he sows, he reaps. He's a person who's patient. Even when the task is long and hard, he's patient. And he recognizes that he has a responsibility to do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. And that was the answer to the Galatian problem. And that's the answer to the crisis times that you and I find ourselves in, is when we move in and don't shrug our shoulders and say the days are past, but we take advantage of the spiritual gifts that God has given to us and reach out in the name of the Lord to each other and to others.